Welcome, everyone, to the One More Game Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy, and with me is the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia. Pete, how you doing, man?
We're almost a quarter of the way through the 2023 already, and that's kind of wild.
That is wild. A lot has happened in that time frame,
if I do say so. A lot has happened since the turn of this decade. Let's be real. This is...
yes,
there's been so many things that have happened that like would have happened like 6 months ago or a year, and I'm just like, that was only like a year ago, and that feels like 10 years ago. It's, yeah. I don't know, everything's gone by really quickly, but then you look back and it's like that feels like that was like ages ago or whatever, like, or it feels like it goes by slowly, but then it's just like, oh my god, that happened so long ago, and it's just racing by.
Yeah, the pandemic really put a dent, I think, for everybody's frame of reference when it comes to time, because it was so, especially the first year, you know, 2020 through 2021, it was one of those things of everything was such at a standstill that now, like you just said, when you look back at it, it kind of feels like it just blurred all into this year, but then you're like, oh man, like the pandemic started 3 years ago this month, you know, which is crazy. It's very crazy.
I think we'd legitimately have been locked down for like, at least in California. I don't know about the rest of the country, but in California it'd been like 2 weeks at this point, almost to the day. To the March 27th. So it's been a lot of like 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. It's like, oh man, it's just a sequel every goddamn year. We keep releasing a new Call of Duty.
Hey, you know, like, what? Annual releases. That's the, you know, the trend. Is the trend.
Knock it off. Go back to Kingdom Hearts release timelines where they have one like every 15 years or whatever.
Well, that's not technically true because there's the spinoffs, and maybe that's what COVID's going for, right? There's the spinoffs of COVID-19 that you got to look at because they're all canon to the story, all right? You cannot overlook any of them.
COVID-19, 358 days over two.
Yeah, exactly. Well, everybody, we're going to stop talking about COVID here in the pandemic, and let's talk about some video games. So everybody that you are joining here with us, welcome to the One More Game Podcast. This is a podcast that is centered around making sure you're informed about all the video game news happening around the world. Whether it's Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, or PC, if there's news that you need to know about, we'll make sure that you know about it. When you're listening to this on your podcast service, make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button depending on what your service offers. And if your podcast service allows reviews, please leave a 5-star review and tell everyone why you love the One More Game Podcast, because we really enjoy bringing this to you each and every week. If you'd like to be part of the show by asking a question or suggesting a topic for discussion, head on over to pressstartnews.net/onemoregame and fill out that submission form, and your submission could be used on the next episode. Or you can drop off your questions and comments live in chat when we record this at youtube.com/pressstart28, or as I've said in recent weeks, that since they added the at sign, it is now youtube.com/@pressstart28. And of course, we will reference them as they come up in the show, like Fail Fisher here, who is joining us and showing some waves. And so we wave back to you, Fail. Thank you for joining us here as we record this live for everyone. But if this is your first time to the podcast, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your listen, and I hope you enjoy your stay. But if you are returning, you already know what it is. We start off every single podcast talking about what we've been playing lately. So, Pete, what have you been playing lately?
Can you imagine the remaster of the COVID-19 pandemic in like 10 years? 15? No, okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, if it's cloud save, if it's the Nintendo cloud version. Oh, God,
no. All right. Really, all right, I don't even want to get into that anymore. All right. So I want to talk about the game I started playing recently. I downloaded Legend of Dragoon remaster. That's kind of why I brought up
it. It's more like a port, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought it was. Yeah, I didn't think it was like an official remaster because the graphics definitely were not updated, really. Anyway, yeah. So I downloaded that, and I've been having fun playing that. I played it, I think, at this point, 4 hours. I just 3 hours, 4 hours or so. I mean, there's a lot of like getting distracted and doing other stuff there. So I think my game save actually says 6. I just got through and saved the childhood friend, which probably only should take you like an hour, but I get, like I said, I get sidetracked and stuff. And I also was trying to get like all the loot and goodies. And it's been fun, but man, I'd forgotten how corny and schmaltzy that game was with the writing.
And I love it.
I didn't say it was bad. It was definitely entertaining, but damn, it, they go hard in the paint sometimes, I gotta tell you. So the game starts out storyline-wise. You come back home. You come back home to your town had been raided by enemy soldiers on horseback, and the first like couple people you meet are like, oh, Dart's the main character's name. If only you were here. You know, maybe something could have stopped this platoon of soldiers. And it's just like, he's a level one dude who was adventuring. I don't think he could have done a whole lot. But then they mention your childhood friend who I went and proceeded to rescue was kidnapped. And then they didn't know where she was. And then the enemy general or commander or whatever comes running in and been like, ah, they're at this prison we took them to. And it's like, well, that's hella convenient that they just reveal that success information. Yes. My favorite part that I've gone through so far is towards the end of the cavern, as you're running off to like the your buddy, shoot, what's his name? I'm really mad. Well, the Lancer's guy's name.
Well, it depends on which one.
Not the prince, the other guy, the first one. That's a spoiler, I guess, but it's been out like 20 years. Anyway.
I'm gonna look it up while you're anyway, talking.
Labitz. I think it's Labitz. Labitz. Isn't it?
Yeah, that might be right.
Yeah, that might be right. Anyway, so he's a really he's a really good bro. He's awesome. I love his character. I loved him in the original game too. He's real bros bro. But it was funny because they had a bromance moment where he almost falls like off a waterfall, and Dart, your main character, goes and like helps him out and helps him pull him back up from the cliff. And they have this bromance moment and just walk off screen together. And your childhood friend, Shauna, the love interest, is like, don't leave me alone. And just like runs after him as they are just sitting there and just like doing like bro fisting and just like, yeah, what up, man? And it was just like, it was just really, really hilarious. The game, the graphics are terrible. Obviously for a port and not a true remaster. Everybody's faces are really squinty. They're all just like,
well, also remember everyone that doesn't know, this is a PS1 game.
This is like from play. This is what?
This is a PS1 game.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if you were saying something else. Sorry. Yeah, it's a PS1 game. So, I mean, you know, you're not playing for the graphics. You're playing for the story. The gameplay is interesting. They had the mechanic, that's they're probably most pronounced for is that, it's kind of like a timed event where you when you go to do an attack, there's multiple times where you can like hit certain buttons. I think it's only X or O. Usually it's X, but sometimes the enemy will randomly try to counter your move, and you'll have to hit O. And if you hit it time and you time it correctly to actually complete the move, I do like it. Although I will say it does force me to actually pay attention during combat a little more than I would like, because sometimes I'm just like, you know, yeah, I know, you laugh at me, it's fine. Because I like to like, oh, okay, I'll tell my dude to do the move and I'll go and like look at my phone for like 2 seconds and then, you know, I'll tell my next person to do the move. But now I have to like hit the move and then I also got to like try to complete the move, which I'm reasonably okay at, I will say. It is a little weird. I don't know if it's like it was always like this or if it's because of the graphics. It feels like you're supposed to, so they have like an square there and you're supposed to hit as like the thing actually hits the square. And I feel like I have to hit it like a beat before it gets there.
Yes, you do. Yep.
Okay. So it's not just like, cause like usually they say like, oh, if you hit it too early, it's not good. If you hit it too late, it's not good. So like, I didn't know if it was always like that. I didn't recall exactly. Yeah. Or if it was just like the graphics are like kind of like mediocre. So that was like kind of like one of the cool mechanics of the game. Really interesting. I really appreciate that. I hadn't gotten to the part where you become a dragoon yet, so I haven't really done that bit yet. But that one's also really fun. I remember enjoying that gameplay as well. So, you know, I'll probably play it some more on and off again, kind of like I've been doing with some other RPGs. But yeah, that's the one I've been playing and started out with and really enjoying myself. Did you? I know you've been busy as hell with work.
Yeah.
Have you been able to get any gaming time in?
A little bit, very little bit.
If not, and if not, you could talk about why you could talk about your experience last night, because I would love to hear that too.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, I played a little bit of video games today. I was really hoping actually to be able to play Legend of Dragoon this week. I downloaded it. It's just not able to boot it up at all. So that hasn't happened. Also, I want to just take a quick mention, even though we're not really going to talk about it too much today, but for those that are looking on the video listeners, shout outs to the death of the 3DS Nintendo eShop. This is my Persona Q, if I remember correctly, Nintendo 3DS there. And so I wanted to shout that out today. It is effectively shut down as of 7 p.m. Central Time. Yeah, you no longer can do it. Oh, man,
it's been out for like 2 or 3 hours now. That's like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I haven't gotten to play a ton of games, but I did, and I'll briefly talk about it, and then I'll talk about my experience last night. I did briefly, again, for video listeners, I'm holding up Tactics Ogre Reborn, which I recently picked up on the Nintendo Switch and been playing that. That is basically the godfather of Final Fantasy Tactics, which many of you know. As I've mentioned here on the podcast, when it comes to tactics games, as much as I love tactics games, nothing amounts to my experience with Final Fantasy Tactics. So I've been playing this a little bit, played it probably about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. So still really early. But man, I have to say, like, even in this early stages, and this is basically every time I've played Tactics Ogre where I've gotten, it is very overwhelming compared to Final Fantasy Tactics, and I see that as like a good thing, but also a bad thing, because of course, like, someone new into the genre, it could very well like just instantly be like, I'm too overwhelmed, I'm stopped, right? But those that of course love tactical strategy games, right, that's awesome, because technically it like opens the door right away in a sense, and is like, here's all these things to do. And so it, like I said, it's a blessing and a curse, but I've only played it for about an hour, hour and a half. I hope to play more of that here in the coming, days, hopefully, if I have some more free time with work. But last night, and I will say I regret it this morning because I'm extremely tired, even doing this podcast right now. I'm really tired, but I went to the Crystalline Resonance Final Fantasy piano concert that was going on here in a town that's nearby us, about 10-15 minutes from here. I was really looking forward to this concert. I ended up finding out about it through basically a marketing email from Square Enix while I was at work one day, and instantly bought tickets with it, and me and my wife went and checked it out. And it was held at a local town's like community theater here, which of course was like a more like secluded event. So this is not for those that maybe have heard of like Distant Worlds, where it's like the full orchestra. This is not the case. This is literally a single person on stage playing the piano to the Final Fantasy music. And then they have like some videos that are playing on a projector right next to them as they play. And man, it was phenomenal. Honestly, it was so good. Now, that does not say that there weren't things that I thought could be improved upon personally and would have loved to experience. One of those things is, again, it's a piano concert, so like, not saying they actually would do this, but one of the songs they played is called The Promise, which is one of the main songs in Final Fantasy XIII, and it has lyrics to it. And it was one of those things where the piano person played it, the pianist played it so well, and it was so beautiful. But for like me, it felt lacking because the lyrics weren't being sang as they were playing it. So those are like moments where it would have been great if they had like a singer come out on stage to sing those lyrics with it. Of course, Final Fantasy doesn't have a ton of music like that, so it may not make sense to pay for someone to obviously travel with this pianist to do that, but maybe it works out in a different setting where maybe it's a vocal recording of it, or, you know, it's a member of the like travel crew that just also is brought on for singing. Again, it's a piano concert, so I'm not trying to say that that was, you know, they should do that, but I was just saying that could have improved the experience. But it was just so well done overall. There were so many good things. It looks like you have something to say.
Oh no, it's just really weird because most of the ones, the songs that Final Fantasy, I don't can't really speak about the more recent games, but a lot of the ones that even have lyrics, like there's usually like a redone version in the same game, but also like it's one to do without lyrics too. So it's kind of weird that they would choose to do the one. I guess they're more well known, the ones that are lyrics. Like I'm just
Well,
guessing you're thinking of Steki Dane from Final Fantasy X, ones like that, but.
yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, of course
I
they
guess that
played the
one doesn't really.
versions. Well,
I guess that one doesn't really have one. I'm sorry. I was just saying. I guess that one doesn't really have one. I'm confusing that one with Xanarkand of the same game. So never mind. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, of course they chose like playing the piano versions of the music, right? It's like they chose, of course, the songs that don't have the lyrics on it. But like
No.
for
Yeah.
me, right, my mind instantly plays the version with lyrics because it's so prominent. And that's where it was like it just felt lacking. But that's not because the pianist didn't do a great job. It was still very beautiful. It was just like my brain started to sing the lyrics, and I'm like, I feel like it's missing, right? And that was the
You
thing,
should have
but.
just stood up and just started singing along. It's like,
Yeah, just started singing the lyrics in the back of the auditorium. But yeah, it was really well done. I did have a
Yeah,
couple
really good.
of friends that I talked about ask me like what were the highlights, and so I'll say, of course, the number one highlight is Xanarkand, right? Like that song is already like made for the piano, so having the pianist play that was obviously very phenomenal. But the one of them that really surprised me, and as you know, I'm a huge Final Fantasy VIII fan, right? Is they played Liberi Fatali, the main song for Final Fantasy VIII. So, you know, it literally opens the game up with that one. He played it on the piano. Obviously, it didn't have the lyrics with it, and it was so well done, not even having the full orchestra with it, which was very interesting. He did a great job with the Chocobo song. He played it very like in tune and like with the same speed, even though like almost felt like faster. Like, and he played it really, really well. So that was really awesome.
That's
And
pretty rad.
then what is the name, or what's the song with Final Fantasy IX? I can never remember it, but it's like the song with like it's like the
Is it the
love song.
opening? The opening place I will return to someday is the opening one.
It might have been that. That was another one that the pianist
That
did.
one's a really good like orchestra version one. Sorry, I'm trying to get my clock on my phone. It
Yeah, no,
keeps
you're
cutting
good.
off.
You're good. It's
I'm not
that was
trying to
another
do
one.
like I'm not ignoring you.
That's another
That's
one
the
that
one I
was
could
really
think
good.
of. There's a few popular songs, but that's usually the one that's like the one that's supposed to be like Zidane's and Garnet's their song, I think
Yeah.
is supposed to be that one.
That's the one that I was talking about. He did a the pianist did a phenomenal job with that. But yeah, overall, it was
And
a
if it's not
phenomenal.
and if it's not their song, all you listeners and watchers can come and comment and tell me how wrong I am because I like
Yeah,
it. So
exactly. And even though it's his favorite song, he is or favorite game, he's wrong.
he
He's
might be.
correct
I'm not even
him.
saying. That's the only one I could think of, but I don't 100% know.
But yeah, phenomenal job. It was about 2 hours long, and yeah, I just regretted it because we had to go to bed early, but we bought the tickets before we knew we had to go to bed early, and then I didn't sleep well. So then, like, it was a combination of like
Oh,
I went to bed
that's not
late
that's
and didn't sleep well.
yeah that's the didn't sleep well part. No, it's more so than the going to bed late, but
Oh yeah, that's what I said. Like, I'm slightly regretting it in that sense because I'm really tired, but it's like it was well worth it still in the end. I loved it. So
good, excellent. I'm glad
anyway,
you enjoyed yourself.
exactly. Let's get on to the podcast because we have so much to talk about. I do want to just shout out real quick. Fail said, "I love Final Fantasy music, in love with it since I saw Advent Children." Advent Children is obviously a phenomenal movie as well. Great music, and yes, Final Fantasy is awesome. Shout out to Nobuo Uematsu, who of course made a lot of the video game music for Final Fantasy over the many, many
Legend.
years. Yes, the legend. Let's get into the podcast, though, because, of course, we are doing another discussion-based podcast, and we are going to be talking about the landscape of video games here in the near future. But I do also, because I almost forgot about this, I want to shout out the games that you can buy that can help support here at Press Start. And that first one is Days Gone is currently 72% off over on Green Man Gaming, making it $14.02. So you could go buy that and go play the game from, oh my God, I'm having a brain fart right now. I will remember it here in a little bit. But Days Gone, of course, is a Sony property. This is the PC version of it, and it has been reviewed very well when it comes to the PC version. And so, again, $14.02, you cannot go wrong with that. And then we also want to shout out Marvel's Midnight Suns is on sale once again over on Green Man Gaming for 56% off, making it $26.10. And again, if you use these links in the description and go buy with those links, you end up supporting the channel here without even having to spend even extra money. You just buy the game up front with that price, and then we get a little kickback. It tells us that you really like what we're doing. So, thank you so much. Anyways, let's get to the discussion because, of course, we are talking about the Xbox Bethesda Activision deal that's continuing to go on and will still go on for a couple of months. Probably even maybe a little bit longer. But we are seeing a step moving forward. So, we're going to talk a little bit first about the article, and then we'll go from there to discuss some things further. But we're going to IGN for this article. It's written by Ryan Dinsdale, and it is Xbox's Activision Blizzard deal takes major step forward in CMA investigation. Xbox's Activision Blizzard acquisition has taken a major step forward as the UK's Competitions and Markets Authority, or CMA, has revealed it is now less concerned over the deal going through. The CMA released a statement saying that one of its key provisional concerns that the deal would harm competition if Microsoft made Call of Duty an Xbox exclusive has now been addressed and is no longer an issue. Following significant feedback from Microsoft, Sony, and all other involved parties, the CMA has said that it wouldn't make sense to make Call of Duty exclusive as this would only lose Xbox money. It's unclear if Microsoft's drive to sign deals putting Call of Duty on Nintendo Switch and various cloud gaming platforms for the next 10 years affected this decision. Now, this doesn't mean the deal will definitely go through, as the CMA said it still has major concerns over its impact on the cloud gaming market, but Microsoft will likely be happy with the announcement, and Activision Blizzard is too. Quote, the CMA's updated provisional findings show an improved understanding of the console gaming market and demonstrates a commitment to supporting players and competition, as Activision Blizzard told IGN. Sony's campaign to protect its dominance by blocking our merger can't overcome the facts, and Microsoft has already presented effective and enforceable remedies to address each of the CMA's remaining concerns. We know this deal will benefit competition, innovation, and consumers in the UK. Now, of course, it is important to note that here in the US, things are still being looked at, and as this article says, the CMA has not fully approved it, but of course it is looking more likely. So Pete, that's kind of where we start our discussion. So of course, as you know, and as we've reported here over the last several months, the Xbox arm has signed a number of 10-year deals to bring Call of Duty to various platforms and cloud services, including Nintendo, which they have not published Call of Duty on, or Activision, I should say, hasn't published Call of Duty on since the Wii U days. What is your take on this newest finding? And then, of course, how do you feel about the deal kind of going forward? Do you think it's more done deal than ever?
My first thought was that quote by Activision Blizzard. There doesn't seem to be anybody more smug than corporate bigwig billionaires. Dude, there, the way they posted that, they really just thought it's just like, ah, Sony just trying their domination tactics campaign. And it's just like, okay, buddy, reel it in, man. So the first thing that I think of specifically directing this deal, you and I have kind of agreed all along, like, there might be some bumps in the road, but we kind of thought at the end of the day that it was almost certainly going to go through. In the US specifically, they are very our government is very catering towards corporations in general, but they are really hesitant to have what do you call it, monopolies, but oligopolies are things that they're just totally fine with, and we see it in a bunch of different industries that we have that we use it every day. That's the airline industry is like that. A lot of like the food industries are like that. Like grocery stores are like a large majority of them, even though they're different names, are all owned by the same corporations. TV stations, specifically local TV stations, are owned a lot by like Sinclair, and Spectrum News and things like that. They're all owned by Nextstar. Yeah, Bally Sports is, and then ATT are dropping their regional sports networks. But you know, one of those are probably gonna. I guess Sinclair can't, because that was their like kind of like their baby, but Bally Sports was. But so at the end of the day, like you and I never really thought that this was gonna get stopped. I will say that an article by Axios came out today. I don't know if you want to bring this up, discussing the merger, and apparently the big arrogant the big buff from the article that we read on IGN, they were a little more concerned about what was going on at Microsoft than they might have put out, because they ran running to Big Brother Congress to try to force through, shall we say, this deal a little faster, because 11 members of Congress want to investigate or look into some of Sony's deals, specifically involving in Japan, focusing on the U.S.-Japan trade deals. And these include Senator Maria Cantwell from Washington, and several other members of Congress from the House, including Carol Miller from West Virginia and Mike Kerry from Ohio, basically urging the Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo and U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai to kind of like look into this, really kind of forcing the pressure and saying that like, oh, well, yeah, maybe this will be a thing that could hurt us here. But Sony's doing stuff in Japan, and that's against the spirit of like U.S. and Japan trade agreements. Which is kind of funny in general, because Sony isn't the dominant console in the PlayStation is the dominant console in Japan. Anyway, that's Nintendo. So it's kind of hilarious that they're just like, Sony's the bad guy here. And it's just like, well, yeah, okay. But anyway, what do I think about this going forward? As a society, we always, as people in general, we always kind of like are like, really hesitant to take the one step forward and push against the wall. But once that wall is pushed, then we have a new line, I guess it's not really a wall so much as a line in the sand drawn. And once we step over that line, there's another line there, but we're fine with that line going there. It's kind of like the people that don't like credit cards, then they get their first credit card and then like, okay, well, I'm always going to pay this off every month. Well, then the one month comes where you don't always pay it off. And then it's like, don't pay off the whole thing. You'll pay off like half because you used it way to like more than you thought you would. And then you get okay. It's like, well, I don't really get in trouble for having credit on my credit card. And then all of a sudden, you know, you keep just like saying like, all right, I'm going to use $400 on it and I'm going to pay $200 off. Well, if you keep doing that over the span of several months, all of a sudden, you know, you're $2,000 to $3,000 on your credit card because you only been paying half of it and things like that. That's how we are as individuals. And that's how a lot of these businesses kind of like, you know, facilitate money and get more money out of you than you would intend them to. It's the same thing. Part of it is similar to like when you have, when you get on Netflix or a streaming service like that, and they like, oh, your first week or your first month is free. We just need your credit card. And then you get so used to using it, you don't even think about it. They're just charging your card. And all of a sudden they got $30 randomly out of you for 3 months extra, because you're just like, wait a minute, I didn't actually take that off and I'm still watching this crap. Or maybe you just enjoy it so much that it doesn't bother you. You just keep letting them charge your card. So the thing I'm concerned about, I bring that point up because I'm concerned about like what other companies that maybe some of these are going to, or what other gaming developers are going to be bought up in this case, or publishers, I guess technically is what Activision Blizzard is. And that's the thing I am really kind of concerned about. What's going to be okay with that? Most specifically because Sony and Nintendo don't have the kind of money that Microsoft has. So Microsoft is going to be, if they want to, and I'm not saying they do, but if they want to go full force into this kind of thing, where they'd start buying up a few more companies and publishers, they're likely going to be the only ones that are capable of doing this with the kind of capital that they have, because they are not a video game company. They are a computer company, and they are worth trillions of dollars, whereas, you know, as we, I think it was the one we were talking about before, it's like two or 2.5 trillion as opposed to, you know, like 100 billion for Nintendo and 250 billion for Sony or something like that.
Yeah.
Either way, whatever the actual number is, the gap is massive. It is, you know, the comparison of like Nintendo being like a hammerhead shark, and then like maybe like a great white for Sony, and then this big ass giant like killer, like just like blue beluga whale for Microsoft is like the definition of a gap we're talking about here. I guess we're talking more about like, we'll talk like a pond versus a lake versus the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
In terms of like companies and what they actually have access to. And that's what I'm more concerned about here personally from that aspect. And then also in line with that, as we talked about before, that when few corporations and few businesses, just few people in general, it doesn't have to be businesses or corporations in this case, when they own a majority, if not a majority or all of a certain thing, they have the biggest control over not just pricing, but messaging and what they are okay with promoting and what they're okay and not okay with promoting, and storylines like that. And that's the big, that's one of the biggest things for me, especially when it comes to a media like this. You know, messaging and like a, it's a little harder when you have like an airline thing. That's more pricing and treatment of workers and stuff like that. Because if all of them are okay with treating your work, if there's only three corporations and all of them are okay with, you know, not necessarily paying like high dollar for you, and like you're trying to go to one of them, then it's kind of like whatever. But in this one case, a media company for video gaming, computers, television, entertainment, any of that source, any of that stuff, they control messaging that you can see, and they can decide what kind of messaging you see, what kind of messaging you don't see. And that's the thing that concerns me the most out of all of this, not to mention just like the general, like, I really don't care for oligopolies in general. I think they're just as dangerous as monopolies, and we're really not focused on being okay with that being a thing. For focus specifically, to bring it all back, we kind of like went super big on that. It does make me wonder like what the landscape of video gaming is going to be like a few years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, more likely. Like we saw an upshift, you know, from when we were kids to like, it was Sega Genesis and Nintendo, and then like a couple of like other ones. And then we got older, then it was like Saturn and then PlayStation and then N64. And then Sega kind of dropped out and just became focused on making video games rather than video game consoles. And then Microsoft came in and started making Xbox. And, you know, we just kind of like they filled the void of that third group that seemed like they needed to have.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to kind of think about like where all this is going to take us going forward.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the landscape will always change. Like, that's the importance. Yes. That, you know, that's one factor that you have to think about, even if this deal didn't go through, right? As time goes on, things change. That's just the natural occurrence of time passing. But as you said, right, it's where does this put the landscape as it goes forwards? And obviously I put it in the title of, you know, the landscape in 10 years. And part of that is because of these 10-year deals that, you know, so Xbox has put in place, you know, the 10-year deal with Nintendo, the 10-year deal with the various cloud services, and obviously the proposed and likely will be signed once, you know, Sony finally feels like the fight is done and that they need to just sign it, the 10-year deal for Sony as well. Where does that put things? Where does that change the landscape going forward? That's what's I find most interesting about this. Because as you said, we've talked about it here on the podcast. This deal has always been likely to go through. There was very, very small chance that it actually would not. And even if it didn't go through, right, like that would have impacted things, and like who knows what Activision Blizzard would have done following you know, the potential of a deal falling through. But you look at where Xbox is, right? Xbox has changed at least their messaging and their focus of where they see their competition. Where do they see their biggest opponents and where they're moving their markets? And they've said, you know, in quotes, and how truly they feel about this or not, who knows? But they say that Sony is not their competitor. They're not their biggest competitor. Their biggest competitor is Google. You know, their biggest competitor is Apple, you know, things like that, the services, Amazon. And that's where they're trying to, you know, do is beef up Game Pass to compete against those. And I think it's realistic that Xbox would be extremely happy if Xbox Game Pass was on everything. On Nintendo Switch, on PC, on PlayStation, obviously on their own stuff. And I could see a world, depending on how things progress, where Xbox really doesn't make consoles anymore. Like, I could see them still making consoles just for the convenience factor of being like, hey, you know, this is going to allow you to play our Game Pass. But I could see them moving to a system eventually down the road of just being like, look, we don't need a console anymore because our biggest focus is our cloud service, is our software. Yeah. And you can play this
like
on
PC. I'm sorry to cut you off, but kind of like Steam Deck or something. That was kind of what I was thinking of.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things where, like, I could see that being a world. But it's just interesting, like, with the arguments that Xbox has placed and played during this conversation. And one of those, obviously, we didn't bring it up in an article and we didn't bring it up here as it happened over the last week. But it's just one that's really interesting, right, is that they talk about, you know, for instance, which is part of, I think, some of the player base's concerns, right, is that Xbox says and markets and communicates that they're not trying to take games away. They're trying to gain access and, like, give access to more gamers to play their various games and these games. And obviously that's true, but I think, like, you know, for some gamers, they're like, well, if that's the case, then why don't you just sign an agreement that you will, as long as there is a console by X company, you will publish on there, right? And that would, that technically could happen, and put it into perpetuity, I think is the term that I'm trying to think of, right? But, like, obviously, they don't want to do that because that may change, right? They want to have the leeway of being like, look, you know, we may change our mind, and obviously that's why they're doing 10 years, and they're like, 10 years, we'll do it. But one of the things that they said, you know, right, is that in a recent article, that, you know, Sony, the deal should only be 10 years for Sony, for instance, or PlayStation, because 10 years is enough time to build a game that rivals Call of Duty, right? That was an article that came up. I think it was from Video Game Chronicles that wrote that article. And it's just funny that they say that because, technically speaking, right, Xbox has been around for longer than 10 years. And I know that they have Halo, but, like, would you really say Halo rivals Call of Duty? Because not really. And then
why don't we go look at the numbers?
Yeah, and then, like, similarly speaking, right? Similarly speaking, it's like, well, then technically speaking, Xbox, you had so many years to build something that rivals Call of Duty, and you couldn't. And that's just because, again, Call of Duty is on another level. Like, and that's just the truth of the matter, right? Call of Duty has built an aura basically around that game that, like, no other company can really match. And that's just the truth of it. That's even gamers who don't call themselves gamers, like, that they only buy basically, like, one thing a year. And what is that usually? Call of Duty. That's just how it is, right? Back in the day, as you know, when we were younger and it, like, wasn't its heyday, the other game that may have been the one that got purchased every year was Madden, right? Like, even, like, the non-gamers, they bought Madden. That has been that case with Call of Duty for years now. Like, I would say almost since Call of Duty 2, the big red one, as it was called, which was basically on Call of Duty, or was on World War 2, but predominantly since Call of Duty 4. Like, it's just been, like, that's the game that even those that aren't gamers, they go by because it's just, like, that much. And so it's just funny to me And it's not an argument for like the deal going through or not, but it's just I just find it funny because it's like, you know, like you said, you had the article that came out from Axios earlier today about the government like pushing back on it. And it's like, well, like technically speaking, right, like some of the same arguments that are being used against Sony for doing it. And I get that Sony is a leg up. And a lot of that comes down to just like what Sony's been able to do, not like with PlayStation. But like, I get that Sony has the leg up, but it's like the arguments used against Sony can technically be turned around on Xbox too. And it's like you said, they have the money to do it. And that's the biggest problem. And so like to go off of this before, you know, you get in there is kind of like with that 10-year gap, right? They've signed these 10-year deals. We've seen in 10 years, things can drastically change. Look at, you know, Sega. Like, obviously, they make games just specifically now, but the Dreamcast, like, killed their console market, and they ran into games. Sony relies a lot on the money that Call of Duty brings in. And so, you know, I guess, like, do you have a concern that in 10 years, the Sony we see now, and or even the potentially the Nintendo we see now, could be no more?
The only way I think that would probably happen, I just don't think Nintendo that'll ever happen. Nintendo is like kind of like their own thing, and it's not like they can't get bought out by a company, but like they seem to be like even like their, what do you call them? Their videos that promote their games. I keep forgetting their names. Yeah. Their Nintendo Directs are like CEOs and whatever, their corporate hierarchy are from Japan. It's a Japanese company. That's the thing that kind of makes me kind of like chuckle about all this, is that yes, Sony is a company based in Japan, and yes, they got a leg up on Microsoft in Japan, but like the people we always hear talking about Sony are like United, like Americans, like Jim Ryan, like those are the people that are like represent Sony. So it's like I could see Sony getting bought out by like if Google decides it wants we really want to, kind of like how Microsoft is buying Activision Blizzard. Maybe Google's like, we really want a video game console like in our umbrella.
Stadia sucked and we need something different.
Yeah. And they just like, we're going to buy, I mean, either Sony or Nintendo. I don't think the Nintendo would really ever go for it, but you know, everybody's got a price, as, the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase, always used to say. So, going back to one of the things you said, where you brought up like a lot of the arguments Microsoft was using on Sony in Japan, you could use it on Xbox. You could use it on Microsoft in general. Like, how many computers like can you buy that don't have Microsoft products on it? Like from the jump. operating systems and things like that, those are all Microsoft. They basically have significant corner of the market. I know there's some like other smaller company, it's smaller than Microsoft. Most companies are smaller than Microsoft. Like they're still pretty sizable companies, but like you have to kind of like specifically order those operating systems. Like otherwise it's just like, oh, you get Windows again. If you just go to a Best Buy and try to buy a computer, like I want this computer, like while you're looking at that, they just like, yeah, here, it's Windows, go nuts. If I were Sony, I'd be like, what about that? Like you guys don't seem to be throwing a cop fit about that. So that was another thing about that article, like reading it was just like, what the hell's going on? I was kind of also laughing because like I forgot about Call of Duty Big Run 1. I played the hell out of that single player campaign. Oh yeah,
that game was awesome. Yeah,
that single player, that campaign was awesome. Heck yeah. That game was a lot of fun. But that was like, but again, it's like that was just like so these companies are just like all like just puffing their chests out when things go their way. But then they use all of the tools in their pockets, all the dollars in their wallets or whatever you want to call it, their accounts, to try to get things to push to where they are in a favorable asset. Going back to turning it over to the talk of contracts, I mean, not only is like their argument of like, well, they should have enough time to come up with a Call of Duty, despite the fact that, you know, Microsoft, instead of trying to make their own Call of Duty, just decided to go out and buy Call of Duty, which is another, well, like you were saying, like, you didn't make one, you just bought it. You just went out and bought Call of Duty. So yeah. I don't know what the argument for you there is. But I mean, it's like any, like, if we want to talk about, make a comparison to sports, like, how many times do athletes, and this is not a knock on athletes at all, I'm not trying to make this a knock, I'm just more of a comparison, where they're like, I would love to stay here and play forever. And then they go and sign for a bigger, they only sign for like a couple of years, and then they go and sign a big contract with another team. We see it all the time, and it's because it's not a signing a 15-year contract when your playing career is like only like 10 to 15 years is just not necessarily an intelligent decision. Because one, the, even if you're getting, say you're Shohei Ohtani, I don't know his age off the top of my head. We'll say for the sake of argument, he's 21 right now, or we'll say he's 22. Just the super athlete, Shohei Ohtani, struck out Mike Trout, his teammate, to win the World Baseball Classic. And we'll say that he signed a 15-year deal for at the age of 22 to go to 37 for $50 million a year. Well, he will be the highest paid athlete of baseball, obviously, at the start of that contract. He's definitely not going to be the highest paid baseball player at the end of that contract, and it's very unlikely by like halfway through that contract he would be the highest paid. He'd probably be, his contract would actually be very beneficial to the team. First off, because he'd be resetting the market a bit. He plays pitcher and fielder, so not entirely, but like a lot of these players are probably going to be like, hey, like I pitch better than Shohei Ohtani, so like I should be at least getting $40 million. And things like that. And that's part of the reason why, too, you sign, if once you sign these long-term deals, you're kind of locked in. And after a certain point, the value of the contract, you outplay that in sports. And that's part of the reason why they tend not to sign these long deals. And then the opposite is, those are also beneficial to the player on the flip side, because that means they get paid that money no matter what. And that's another reason why the owners, that's why the rules are in the NBA are so crazy when it comes to trading draft picks, specifically your first round draft picks, because teams want to protect themselves from being stupid about it and making trades for players that aren't necessarily ideal, but they trade away all their draft capital, all their draft assets. So they don't have a first round pick, which is very important in the NBA because there's a lot less players in the draft and there's a lot less players on the court. So the, your best players have a tremendous impact, a lot greater than necessarily saying on a baseball team or a football or NFL team. So again, like that's another reason why, like, they would never be like, oh, well, we're just always going to have Call of Duty on a PlayStation as long as there's a PlayStation around, because like maybe Call of Duty, like, oh, well, it's $50 million a year for Call of Duty. What if all of a sudden Call of Duty is making Sony like $100 million? Mm-hmm. And you're only getting $50 million off of that. And it's like, well, now it's out overplaying its contract kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you did it like the whole time, it's like, well, now you're just kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So there's a lot of things like that going on at play too. It's just not, at the end of the day, no matter what corporations say or businesses say in general, that they have your best interest in mind, they don't. And this is not like trying to be my anti business take that I usually have. This is just in general, like they're going to do whatever is best for them because they want to make money. That's what corporations, that's the only thing they are capable of doing. So, well, they're not going to say like,
that keeps them in business.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not just going to be like, oh, we're going to make less money to try to make things better for you. It's like, no, they're going to do the thing that's best for their bottom line, because that's what they do. That's what keeps them in business.
Yeah.
And like, that's why they're always going to do those kind of things.
Now, because of timing, I'm going to ask you, like, of course, as again, times change, things are going to happen. There's going to be another buyout at some point. It's just, I cannot imagine that we go the rest of history in a sense and there's no buyout. So Pete, who do you expect, in a sense, or who would you guess would be the next company that potentially gets bought out? You don't have to say who it'll be, whether it'll be like, you know, Microsoft buys them out or Sony buys them out or Nintendo buys them out, but just like, what company do you think will get bought out though?
When's the last time, I know you only threw up these three on there. When's the last time Ubisoft had like a big, like humongous title? Because it seems like they keep tripping over themselves, and maybe I'm partially bringing that up because they said they're not going to be at E3, but today.
I mean, I guess it's relative to what would you say is a big game? Like, because for me, I would think like
the last. Go ahead and tell me, because you're more knowledgeable about this stuff.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's like, I think it kind of depends on what you feel. Because like, I would say the last one that like sticks out to me, of course, is The Division 2. Now, whether that is somebody's big game or not, that's, you know, a different story. The one game, though, that still gets a ton of support, still played a ton, all that jazz, is Rainbow Six Siege, right? And that's a competitive game with an esports that's built around it. And that's, like, you know, again, a different setting. But, like, it hasn't been recent years, let me put it that way. Rainbow Six Extraction. Yeah. Obviously didn't do well really at all, even with it being on Game Pass, and now it's also on PS Plus. You heard the upset about Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope. You know, that one didn't do very well. Far Cry 6, they weren't happy with either. So it's been a bit, a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be the ones, some of the ones that we kind of went over, also have listed here. I'm definitely cheating. I'm not going to say I'm not. Square Enix, that just feels like their name's kind of too big, and they're too, I want to say too successful, but then they always get upset about all their sales numbers and say like, so maybe that's not it. It just feels like they make so many games for like multiple different consoles. That's also another one that's like, it's kind of like Nintendo, right? Like, they are clearly based in Japan and follow like Japanese like business ideologies, I would assume.
Especially like Sony, now. Like I was,
yes.
Because remember, they sold off their Western divisions to Embracer Group. So like, they're like really, really Eastern focused now. Or West, Eastern focused, yeah.
That's a good call. Like, it just feels like to me, like, it was kind of like going back to like I was saying about Sony. Like, yes, Sony is a Japanese company, but I feel like the people in charge are like at least split, being like American versus Japanese or something like that. Because we always hear about Jim Ryan, like, as like the, I don't know if his title is CEO, and I feel terrible that I don't remember now.
He's, if I remember correctly, his exact title is President of Sony Interactive.
But like, that's who we hear about from that aspect. So it feels like they're leaning more towards like the Western market, in that sense. Whereas like Square Enix,
I nailed it. Sony Interactive Entertainment President.
You
did a fist
bump. I was like, you're just like the
I did it.
So I don't feel like Square Enix would be like that. Bandai Namco, I guess you can make a similar argument to what I made about Ubisoft. Is they make a lot of like big name games, but like it kind of feels like a lot of it are kind of like based off of like other properties, not necessarily their own.
They make a lot
of like Street Fighter.
They make Bandai Namco makes a lot of extra things. And I think you're confusing with Bandai Namco. That's Tekken. Capcom is Street Fighter.
That's Street Fighter. As soon as I said Street Fighter, I'm like, that's not right.
I could see it in your face. Audio listeners couldn't see it, but I could see it in your face. You're like, Street Fighter.
No. That's Tekken. That's not right. Yeah, Tekken's like they're kind of like one of their bigger like titles that they have, but it feels like a lot of their.
Especially now. I was going to say Tekken's been, you know, a big, but remember Tekken 7 is the highest selling fighting game of all time. I mean, like, that was a huge one for them. And obviously you have, you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ, which did really well for them. Obviously Bandai Namco has been and had for a long time, right? They do a lot of anime adaptations. Like that's one of their bread and butters, you know, type of things, but they do have their own IPs too that they develop. You know, obviously God Eater, they developed that before it became, of course, a I'm having a brain fart. An anime, Scarlet, you know, yes. Scarlet Nexus. We just talked about, obviously, another one that I obviously really like. Obviously, Elden Ring, another one that they worked on. They do the Tales series, so Tales of Arise, you know, Tales of Vesperia, Tales of any other word that you want to put at the end of there, because there's a ton of Tales games out there. But you're right, they also did, you know, like. Demon Slayer, and they've done the Naruto games, right? And they did, obviously, I talk about Dragon Ball Fighters, and they did Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. What?
Yeah, did they do the JoJo Fighter, or is that somebody else?
Yes, they did the JoJo Fighters. They did the One Piece Odyssey RPG that just came out. Yeah. Like, that's their, that's one of their other bread and butters that they do. And so, you know, it's, as you said, obviously, just putting it there, yeah, I listed for the listeners in our show notes. I listed, like, who do you think will be the next company, and I gave some examples. I said Ubisoft, Square Enix, Bandai Namco, and the reason I put all three of those is because technically speaking, at some point or another, or in reoccurrence in recent years, all three of these companies have been in rumors, in a sense, of potential buyouts or being in discussion for potential buyouts. And as you said, right, Pete. Everyone has a price. Everyone has a price that they're gonna that they could eventually turn the bullet. I think Activision Blizzard is the perfect example of it, because Activision Blizzard was making a ton of money and was looking successful and all that jazz, and all of a sudden Microsoft walks up and goes, "We'll give you $69 billion," and they're like, "Yes, we'll take it." You know,
I would like to change my pick. Electronic Arts, because I've been wanting to find somebody to buy them at some point. And finally, somebody's just like, "All right, fine, here, fine, whatever, we'll buy you. Just quit bothering us. Quit ringing our doorbell."
They've been rumored with Amazon. They've been rumored with Apple. They've been rumored with Disney. Right? Like Electronic Arts is actually. Yeah, and
everybody's just like, no. How bad do you have to be Electronic Arts to be just like, somebody like all three of those companies is probably just like yeah, sure, whatever. Just like they're just like handing money off without even paying attention about what they're buying. Even then, just like, nah, I don't know about that.
I love it. It's like, you know, like, just to kind of put it into like people perspective, it's like the unwanted date, right? Like, they're like asking everyone to go to prom, and then there's like, no, and it's like, oh, come on. Like,
no.
Oh, you know, swipe or no swipey, almost so like Dora to explore.
Yeah. Like, I feel so bad for you, EA. I really don't, but.
But yeah, honestly, I don't know what would be the next one. My money, if anything, just based off of recent articles and discussions, it would be Ubisoft. But I just, similar to what you said before with Square Enix, I just feel like at the end of the day, like, Ubisoft is still such just a big company that I just can't imagine them going, you know, that quickly or that off. Like, Ubisoft is a huge company. A lot of people forget it. They have a ton of development studios. Just like with a number of these other, you know, publishers, right? Because Ubisoft is also a publisher, but they have a ton of development studios that a lot of people forget. They have a lot of employees that are there. But I just don't see, like, Square Enix, I think, you know, obviously they could, because how their president's situation is. I know their president is stepping down right now and they have a new one that's stepping in, but like the direction, in a sense, has been questionable for a lot of people for a while. But I still think that they're, at the end of the day, they're still successful, but I guess I should change it to successful enough that I think that they're like, it makes most sense to just keep churning out games and keep making money the way that we're doing it. Bandai Namco, I think their fallback plan of always doing a lot of anime adaptations gives them like consistent money, because those anime studios obviously have to sign a deal for them to like make the game. I think that that's like consistent money that comes in for them that works out probably in their favor. But Electronic Arts, as you said, that's a good one. That was a good pick there.
Yeah, kill me.
Because of timing, we're going to have to move on to our upcoming releases instead of talking about some of the other thick questions that I had here. But you know what? Let's talk about other video games, not just Call of Duty and Microsoft Activision Blizzard. Let's talk about some games that are coming out this week that you may want to buy, and it's going to start with today, Monday, March 27th. You have 9 Years of Shadows for PC. Tuesday, March 28th, you have Colossal Cave for Xbox Series and Xbox One. Death Roads Tournament for PC Steam Early Access. Drop for PC. Crime Boss Rock A City for PS5, Xbox Series, and PC. MLB The Show 23 for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch. That's coming to Game Pass. Sifu for Xbox Series and Xbox One. Terra Nil for PC, iOS, and Android. The Last of Us Part 1 for PC. Wednesday, March 29th, you have Raidborn for PC Steam Early Access. Gripper for Switch and PC. Pirates Outlaws for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure Expansion for Xbox Series, Xbox One, and PC. Thursday, March 30th, you have Total Tank Generals for PC, Ravenbound for PC, Mayhem in Single Valley for PS5 and PS4, The Great War Western Front for PC, Anoroth The Queen's Tyranny for Switch and PC, Saga of Sins for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Switch and PC, Plasma PC Steam Early Access, Dredge for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch and PC, The Last Worker for PS5, Xbox Series, PSVR 2, Switch, and PC, and Infinite Guitars for Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Then Friday, March 31st, you have Cosmonius High for Quest and Citizen Sleeper for PS5 and PS4. Pete, any of these catching your attention?
That MLB The Show 23 one kind of threw me for a loop. I was just like, damn, I remember playing the show 22 talking about it last year. I know it's a yearly release, but I was just like, That's weird.
Pete, we're we started with the open of the show. The times are flying with the years going on.
I imagine this is how it was for people that play Madden and bought the new edition every year. Anyway, sorry. That's just a funny anecdote. So the picks I have, I really enjoyed. I'm really looking into 9 Years of Shadows. It's currently 20% off. It's part of their introductory offer. That sale ends April 3rd, so it's usually $19.99. You can acquire it for $15.99 right now. It's a Metroidvania action-adventure game. Looks pretty sick. The art and... The art and animation and graphics look pretty good. And the action, too. I'm also a sucker for Metroidvania games. I've talked about a few of them already on this podcast, what we've been playing lately, so... Looking into thinking about buying that one. That one's pretty sweet. Another one I really enjoyed was Terra Nil. They have you can download a demo, rather. Geez, easy for me to say. On Steam right now. It's a nature strategy relaxing game based on city building. But instead of building an actual city, you're kind of trying to revitalize an ecosystem of a planet that's kind of been... been lifeless, so you got to purify the soil and clean the oceans, things like that. Watching the graphics on that one look kind of interesting and a little bit of a different take on world building or city building, because like I said, usually you're just building up a city, and in this case you're kind of building up nature. And the last one I really enjoyed, this one was more of because of a throwback of remembering my the young days of young Pete watching my dad play a Dungeons and Dragons game for Sega. Raidborn is a first person fantasy action RPG where you go the graphics kind of look almost like a little bit like a cubish Minecraft ish kind of sort of do a first person view of going around. I think according to the promotional tools, you're arrested for something and you have to go dungeon diving to kind of clear your name or things like that, or plunder for treasures. And dungeon diving is another genre I'm really interested in, so that's one I also was looking at.
Yeah, besides the ones that you said, just to obviously shout out, kind of some normal given ones. Obviously, The Last of Us Part 1, a great one to go check out. And Citizen Sleeper, if you haven't yet, I would go check that out on Game Pass. I think it's still on Game Pass. I know it's coming out for PS5 and PS4, but right now. That one got a ton of raving reviews for people that like almost simulation, city structure type games. I haven't played it myself, but I'm really interested. I love the art style and the art direction that game went with. So, of course, more players getting to play it is awesome.
still on Game Pass.
It is still on Game Pass. The last one I just want to say is the one that I would I put on my list, which is Ravenbound. This is an open world action roguelite, and it looked really cool in my opinion. So I would say go check that out. Again, it's coming out on March 30th. But Pete, I haven't had a lot of time to buy some video games or play some video games, so I ain't buying anything this week. Either. But that is our show. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with before we send them off into the rest of the work week?
Hope you enjoy the discussion. Listen to us to discuss it, I guess, more so than anything else. But I really enjoyed this week. It was a nice different take on what we normally do, even different from like discussion episodes, because we were kind of just focused on a specific like business topic instead of like our opinions on like top five games or whatever. So I really enjoyed this week. Hope you all did too.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Of course, we are trying to do some more things like this here in the future. So, of course, the way that you let us know that you liked it is by commenting, liking the video, and, of course, sending in some things when it comes to the, either the form over at pressstartnews.net/onemoregame, or, you know, just talking with us on Twitter. I guess that's, you know, because that's where most of us are sitting. Or you can join our Discord group. Again, down in the description, there is a link for the Discord group. But again, everybody, that has been the episode here for the One More Game podcast. I've been one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy. And this has been the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia. And we really enjoy bringing this to you. So as always, everybody, stay hydrated, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on gaming. We'll see you all on the next episode.